Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Mike Babcock coming right up. We are excited to talk some NFL draft and Husker spring football with our favorite Husker NFL lineman, Jeremiah Searles, in his Husker den at Searles71_HSKR. Papa Searles, as he's known around the household. Searles, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy 2 weeks here getting ready for the draft. I've probably made over 300 phone calls and talked to anywhere between 4 to 5 people on each NFL team, just trying to paint a picture for where our clients are going to go, what they look at, prospects, the whole bit. So I'm excited and stressed and nervous and everything else for this weekend, but it's such a fun weekend of the year.
Tell me about some of your prospects, your clients, and you know what you're hoping for, what you're thinking about here Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, you know, so hopefully we have a day two guy, Christian Boyd, a D tackle out of Northern Iowa, who has just been through the gauntlet of pre-draft stuff. He ended up having to go on 15-30 visits because he didn't get invited to the combine. So he might be the highest drafted non-combine guy, which would be awesome for him. And then I got three other O-linemen, a kid from North Dakota State, kid from Liberty, and a kid from Augustana. Two of the guys should be day three picks, another one PFA, and the hope, and as we say in the agency, is no shattered dreams in May. So hopefully everyone has a team come the end of Saturday, and away we go.
Well, Searles, tell me really fast here, because we're experiencing this with some Husker guys this year as well. How does it work to be a guy who doesn't get a combine invite but still get some good looks from teams? Like, what is the communication like in terms of who gets a combine invite? Obviously, Husker is there this year, but still a couple Huskers hoping to get drafted. How does that entire process work right there? And why do some guys end up getting drafted so high even though they aren't at the combine?
Yeah, you know, so the national – so there's two scouting services that the NFL uses, National and Blesto, right? And National's the one that puts on the combine, and National Football Scouting, right? The NFS, that's why it's the National Football Combine. And they have one or two scouts per team that is designated the national scout. And it's their job to go through all the teams in the spring and the fall and rank guys of who should be combine invites and who should not be, right? And it's a tough job. It's a hard thing to do. But sometimes guys just miss, right? And the way it is, it's a voting system. You have to have, I believe, 12 votes or more. So 12 teams or more have to vote and say, yes, I want to see that guy at the combine, or I want to see this guy at the combine. They've taken the agents completely out of it. There's no way to lobby a guy into the combine. There's no way to pull a favor. Like, we are excommunicado from the combine combine list. But yeah, so every team has a national scout that has to go through. And I mean, sometimes they just miss on guys, right? It's usually the smaller school guys, but there's guys time and time again that don't go to the combine that end up getting drafted. I mean, shoot, the guy from the Rams last year ended up going in the third round as a defensive tackle. I can't believe I've said his name about 100 times and it's escaping me at the moment. Kobe Turner, there it is. Kobe Turner went third round last year, didn't go to the combine, finished second defensive player of the year this year, right? So defensive rookie of the year. So there's lots of good guys that go not to the combine, end up getting drafted.
Well, is there any politicking? I mean, I understand the NFL is a game that has a lot of politicking. Is there any, like, some team thinks they found a diamond in the rough that they don't want anybody else to know about, so they're going to act like they don't like him? I think back to Connor Strange with the Patriots taking him in the first round a couple years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of teams thought they had a diamond in the rough. Nobody was talking about him, and then the Patriots go and take him in the first round.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, but in today's era of, I mean, these guys have 20 people on staff that are scouts. The idea of, like, some people thought Christian might fall, my D-tackle, like, oh, he might fall through the cracks. Like, no, he had 15-30 visits, so he was busy, right? No longer a secret, right? It just doesn't work like that anymore. But I think there is a little politics as far as, like, how many small stool guys do we bring to the combine versus power five guys and that piece. Like, there is a little bit of that goes on.
Searles, going to get your thoughts on the spring game headline Sunday as Searles gets his crystal ball out.
Headline Sunday, Donovan Raiola. wow, right? I think there's going to be a lot of that. And it's not going to be because he lights the world on fire. It's just everyone's excited to see him, right? Everyone's excited to see him. I mean, few have got to go to practice, but this is going to be the first time. I mean, we've been talking about Donovan. We've been talking about Raiola since last
year.
January.
2 years.
Right? Like, and we've rode the roller coaster of he loves us. Oh, no, he hates us. He's going to Georgia. Oh, he's back. Oh, he's here. Like, this is the first time Husker Nation is going to get to lay eyes on this kid as a Husker, and it's going to be great. And I hope that he doesn't steal the show too much because there's a lot of good talent there. But I do think the whole show is going to be around him, rightfully so. He's the highest ranked quarterback we've ever had, right? Like that type of thing. So I think it's going to be a lot of him and a lot of Emmett Johnson.
Yep, hand it off and make a few throws, and away you go. What line are you betting on? Are you betting on Pot Roast's guys to win the day, the defensive line? Or you think Donnie Raiola's offensive line, and we're not going to see a lot of guys that have logged a lot of starts, but some of those younger pups?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting because it's not going to be the battles we're used to seeing, right? It's not going to be Ben Scott versus or Nash Hutmaker, right? It's not going to be Bryce Benhart versus Ty Robinson. Like, those dudes don't need to play a lot of snaps in the spring game. We need them in the fall, right? You're going to see guys like Evan Jenkins versus Elijah Judy, right? Like, you're going to see those type of battles, which I'm excited for because that's one position that the D-line last year this time, question marks everywhere, right? Who's the depth? Who's the guys? Like, I didn't know anyone besides Nash and Ty. And now you got Van Poppel. You got Cam Lenhart. You got Elijah Duty. You got all these dudes that have worked in there through the fall. But we don't have that on the other side of the ball, right? You got Ben Scott. You got Bryce Benhart, who played a lot of football. But then you've got a lot of new faces. You got Teddy, who needs to stay healthy and looks like he's made it through a spring. Thank goodness, right? And then you've got some really young pups and Gunner and some other young guys that you're just waiting to see kind of who emerges to become the next big guy that we're going to need because very rarely do all five starting offensive linemen make it through a season healthy.
Searles, with the offensive line, some younger cats out there, but some guys that I think you also expect are going to get some playing time in the fall, whether it be because of injury, whether it be because of garbage time, whether it be because of just a guy making strides through the summer and through the fall and working his way into a starting lineup. There's going to be guys out there that we see in the fall. And with those guys, Matt Rhule and Satterfield talked a lot about the importance of the run game, but now you have Dylan Raiola behind you at quarterback. Are you more concerned about their ability to run block or pass protect? What do you think is going to get these younger guys snaps in the fall?
I think it's run blocking. You know, anytime you have a freshman quarterback, regardless of how talented he is, you can't put everything on his shoulders. It's just not fair to him. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to his teammates. Like, you're asking a kid to fail. And what you want to do is surround him with a super solid run game, put him in pass situations that are friendly, right? Not live in, hey, if we're going to come out and throw the ball three times and all of a sudden we're in third and 10. No quarterback wants to be in third and 10. Right, let's be a good, efficient running the football team. Put ourselves in second and manageable. Put ourselves in third and short. Open up the play action game. Get the boot game going. Get him rolling out. Right, don't ask him to be a statue back there. And so, I really do think these young linemen are going to take big strides in the run game to prove they're ready to get out on the field. Because as much as Rhule knows that, hey, we're going to have to throw the football. It's why we brought him here. He knows that in the Big Ten, games are won and lost, especially in November with the ground game.
Searles, let's spend a minute with the gap, right? I'm anxious to see with our own eyes the gap in that quarterback race. I think we're all thinking there's been separation by Dylan. Wonderful. What's Harburg truly look like with his improvement? Same with Danny Kaye. But what's that gap on the offensive line to your eyes? You've seen some practices. Mm-hmm. Not asking you to badmouth, but you've got your starters, and then you've got the guys that will be called upon at some point.
Yeah, you know, I think the gap's a little larger than Coach Raiola would like, and it's not really his – it's nothing his fault. It's just they're young. Right? It's just hard to ask a young player to come in here and be ready to go. I mean, the days of, hey, you're going to redshirt for a year, you're going to get a developmental year, you're going to put 20 pounds on, like, we don't have that luxury right now in the offensive line room, unfortunately. We have guys that are here that are either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen that we're going to need to be called upon. And that puts you in a tough spot as an O-line coach because you don't want to do that to hamper kids' development. But sometimes out of necessity, you just need to do it. And it's not because the kid can't do it. He just may not physically be ready yet. And that makes it a really hard time to go out there when you're trying to survive. You don't quite have all the physical tools that you need. Coming from a guy that started as a redshirt freshman and felt that a little bit when I got out there.
Searles, as we talk about, I guess, the offensive line, the rushing attack, there's been some rumors out there that Nebraska's reached out to Dylan Edwards, the running back from Colorado, in the transfer portal. With that, is that just trying to acquire talent, or does that give you some warning bells in terms of what the running back room is? Are you going to wait until Saturday, or are you going to also jump on the bandwagon of people kind of like me who've become a little bit concerned about the running back room through the spring?
Yeah, the only reason I'm concerned about the running back room is you look at who's in it and you go, okay, like Gabe Irvin obviously is great, hasn't finished a season. Ramir Johnson's coming off an injury, right? Emmett Johnson is young, looks like a promising young back. And then you got some other unproven guys, transfers in from Oregon. They're like, you want to get a young guy, which Edwards was a freshman last year, right? You want to get a young guy in here that you're going to say, hey, we're going to develop you for the next 3 years. So you're going to be our guy, right? Like, we don't have that guy besides Emmett in the room. And you want two of those guys. You always want to have two or three backs, because if there's a position that gets hurt more than any other position, it's the running back. And we saw it last year. I mean, once those guys started going down, the run game just went into the toilet. And so you want to make sure you have a stable of running backs. It's never a bad thing to have too many running backs.
Searles, talk to your Viking faithful about J.J. McCarthy.
Stop. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy lover. No. I haven't been since the day he left Michigan. I think he's going to get a guy fired. Like, I'm not a believer. I'm sorry. I'm not. And I planted this flag a long time ago, and people have tried to move me off my spot. But if I'm looking at the top tier quarterbacks, it goes Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Penix, McCarthy. Like, okay. That's how I have them listed. It probably doesn't go that way. But I think the Vikings, if Drake May's not there at 3, I think they sit at 11 and see who's still there.
Last thought here, Jeremiah Searles with us. NFL draft thoughts. And, of course, spring football thoughts with Nebraska on Saturday. Searles, I want to get your thought on that move, that bump up from college to the NFL. What's that experience like for a college guy to then make the jump into the NFL? Are locker rooms, or is it a different animal in the NFL?
Totally different beast, right? I mean, totally different beast. You come into college with a group of guys that you know you're going to spend the next 4 years with, right? Hey, we're all freshmen. We're enjoying this. This is fun. Like, you walk into an NFL locker room and there's a 33-year-old dude there that's married, has two kids, and he looks at you like, you think you're taking my job? Good luck, right? And sometimes it's not a very friendly place to be. And then you come in with a bunch of rookies. You're like, oh, this is fun, right? And then you just start slowly seeing them all get chopped away, right? Oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. And the reality of, wow, this dream can be over at any minute really starts to set in, right? And it's just one of those things where it's completely different. It's now your job. It's very taken seriously. There's no scholarship. Like, it's a performance-based deal. High stress, high reward, but one of the most cool things you'll ever do.
Who made you second-guess walking into that locker room?
King Dunlap. 6'10", 350 pounds of him. One of the first person I met when I walked into the Chargers locker room. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then the second person was DJ Fluker, came up and shook my forearm with his hands. And I was like, what is happening? And what planet did I go to? Like, there's no way I can figure this out. But I did. We made it work. But those two humans showed me that, like, the NFL is a different beast.
Searles, enjoy draft weekend. Best to you and your clients. Thanks for a few minutes.
Absolutely appreciate you guys. Go Big Red.